Hello and welcome back to the 2%. Today I'm thrilled to bring you a conversation with Jess Sibley, the CEO of Time, a leading figure in the dynamic world of media. Jess's journey through the industry is nothing short of remarkable, with pivotal roles at Forbes, The Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg, and Condé Nast before taking the helm at Time in November of 2022. Under her leadership, Time has not only embraced digital transformation, but has also expanded into new territories, including live events, branded content, and initiatives like Time CO2 for climate action. Just over a year into her role, Jess has already left a significant mark on the organization, redefining how global media brands stay relevant and impactful in today's fast-evolving landscape. I'm eager to share Jess's insights and experiences with you, so let's dive right in. Hey, Jessica, great to have you on here today. How's your day going?
Oh, so great. Thank you so much for having me, and it's great to see you.
Likewise. So would love to maybe just kick it off with your background. So incredibly impressive. I think, you know, within the media industry, you have worked at some of the most, you know, well-respected organizations, Forbes, The Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg. I'm curious, you know, each of these has a very different working environment, and I'd love to maybe hear your approach to how these environments have led to your leadership style at Time.
Well, thank you for that. And yes, I've been reflective of my 30-year career, a little bit more. And yes, it's been a pretty consistent theme throughout that I've had the privilege, honor, and opportunity to work for, I would say, the most venerable, globally recognized media companies in the world, including the ones that you've named, that are all anchored in high authority, high integrity, trusted journalism. A lot in business, finance, technology, and a wider, more diverse industry focus at Time. And I would say another sort of consistent theme throughout, which has informed my approach and my leadership style, is continue to evolve, reinvigorate, transform, and innovate these incredible media brands in a constantly changing landscape.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And constantly changing, I think, you know, for a lot of industries, doesn't mean day to day. I do think within media, it really, particularly over the, you know, the beginning of this year, we've seen it's just things move so fast. And so I think that ability to be flexible and to respond is so incredibly important.
It's a lot of the consumer changes and the consumer habits and consumption habits and, you know, being able to meet audiences where they are and also where they're going, and continuing to make these brands and these companies contemporary and relevant and reaching audiences that are meaningful and matter, and staying ahead of where consumers are, but not too far ahead. And it's been changing with new products and new platforms and always having to look for new business models. So it's been really exciting, challenging, but also really exciting.
Yeah. So I know it's been about a year, a little over a year since you joined Time as CEO. And, you know, it's been an incredible year. What would you say you consider your most significant accomplishments to be over the course of the last year?
Well, there have been so many. It's been one of the most exciting, I would say, year of my career. Also the most difficult and demanding, given so much change in the media industry.
Yeah.
Prior to joining, I spent a lot of time studying Time and studying the business and really creating the plan. I would say I was on version 7 pages long before I joined on day one. And you sort of start to think about, well, what would you do? Kind of need to know that before, especially when you're making a big career change, which I was making. And I looked at my computer blank, and I just started with Time 3.0. And that became the strategy, the vision, and the plan. at least for 2023 that we started. And, you know, I'm really excited. We had seven priorities. Mid-year, I relooked at those priorities and said, yes, they're the same seven priorities. I reprioritized those priorities, and I'm really excited of all that we've accomplished. I've talked about Time 3.0 publicly, and obviously it's something that became sort of a rallying cry internally, 3.0, let's go. And it was very clear where we needed to take this company and what those priorities were. And we've launched a lot of new revenue initiatives at Time. So I'm really proud of our revenue diversification, revenue recalibration, and moving into some new, really exciting businesses for us. Yeah. And a lot of the management team has changed. I named a new editor in chief, the youngest editor in our 100-year history, Sam Jacobs. But Sam is very respected and very seasoned. He's been at Time for over 10 years and certainly was very ready to take this on. And I'm really proud of the work that he's done leading the newsroom, especially over the last many months, which has been difficult, I would say, reading the news, let alone reporting it.
Yeah. So along those lines, you know, Time has undergone what I consider to be a remarkable digital transformation under your leadership, which I know can be challenging within media, generally speaking. And so I'm curious, you know, from a decision-making standpoint, what was your point of view on accelerating this transformation, and how did that align with kind of those priorities that you just mentioned?
Yeah, well, it's all anchored in our trusted journalism. And I joined, I would say, at such a great time during our centennial, during our 100 years. Trust is our number one core value, and that will remain. And everything that we do out of the newsroom is our product. And it's not just about what we're writing about every single day, but our 100 years of archives, which I took down the paywall in April. And I'm really proud of that decision, where, you know, access to affordable information around the world is critical. It's the backbone of democracy. And quite honestly, in an era of disinformation and misinformation, I'm really proud of the work that our newsroom does. And I think that is really critical, more so now than ever before. Just having returned from Davos, there are, you know, 40 high-stake elections just this year, and to participate in our mission of allowing, you know, Time to be available for everyone in the world. I don't not believe in subscription businesses. It just wasn't the right decision for us. And we reached the largest audience in our 100-year history, the most global audience in our 100-year history, as well as the youngest. So we're reaching leaders of today and tomorrow. And I think that's really important for us. And I'm really proud of the transformation of the company. And thank you for recognizing the work that we've done in the last year to really reinvigorate this brand, to build this business, to open up lots of new opportunities. We launched Time Stamped with Taboola, which is a content-to-commerce business for the first time. We launched a fast channel. We, as I mentioned, removed the paywall. We did a partnership with Statista, where we're debuting some of our first ever most important lists that are really meaningful, that matter to our marketers. For example, best companies for future leaders, colleges and universities for future leaders. And we're really excited about that partnership. We've grown our events business exponentially in the last year. We launched our AI platform, our climate platform. And I will announce here today that we are launching a healthcare platform where we're going to identify the most influential, important people in healthcare today.
Amazing.
We'll be revealing that in May.
Oh, fantastic. That's so exciting. Really, really exciting. Well, congrats. I mean, I can't believe all of that within the span of, you know, a little over a year. That's incredible. Excited to see what 2024 holds. You know, you touched on a few of the things that time has expanded into, you know, obviously live events, branded content, climate. As you think about time 10 years from now, as you mentioned, you know, truly global media brand, what is your vision for kind of where you want to be 10 years from now?
Wow, 10 years is a long time.
Yeah, it is.
I'm just going to focus on the next year ahead.
Yeah.
You mentioned global. I think when we look at sort of our roadmap for this year, we definitely have plans for global expansion. Right now, 40% of our audience is global. We have a really strong editorial and commercial team, both in Asia and in Europe. And Time is just a globally recognized brand. And the red border is the statement of truth and trust. And I've had the opportunity in the last year to travel the world for Time. And everyone has a Time story. And in fact, I think our brand is so much bigger than our business. So we really want to grow the business to achieve the levels of globality of the brand. And we have a lot of different ways that we're going to be doing that. But when I look at the year past, you know, when we launched our first ever Time 100 AI list, again, recognizing, celebrating, and telling the stories about the most important people in AI today, 40% were women. So
incredible.
Think about AI and the opportunities for women. McKinsey did a story that more jobs are going to be replaced by AI that are held by women. So if women can participate in AI achievements and advancements, I think that's really important. And over 50% were global, were people of color. So there's inclusivity there. We also launched our Time 100 climate list, and over 60% were global and identified as people of color. And there's a lot of women in climate that are driving the ideas and the solutions that are so needed and that are so critical right now. So yeah. Global is definitely a really big focus for us. We're going to be activating impact awards and events globally. I'm headed to Dubai. We'll be in Singapore. I was just meeting with our global team, and we'd love to participate in India and in Spain. We'd love to get to Israel. We had plans to be there last year, and unfortunately, we had to reschedule. We'd really like to be back in that region. And I'm really excited about the opportunities for Time.
Fantastic. I have to share a fun fact for our audience. It's actually it's one of your Time 100 lists, the AI list that actually led us to our most recent deal, Amini AI. Read about the founder on that list, and we reached out, and you know, that was our latest investment. So, you know, you're making an impact, you know, more broadly than I think sometimes people would even assume. So so that's really incredible. So I know Time Studio is another one of your products and has been very successful, particularly from a revenue generation standpoint, I believe generating over 100 million. How do you see the role of multimedia content evolving and in particular, you know, Time's positioning to really be able to capitalize on those changes?
Yeah, so Time Studios has been such a success for us over the last several years. And again, it really is all rooted in trust in journalism and our ability to storytell and to tell stories in different formats, including documentaries, docuseries, shorts formats, and even bring our events from live to tape in the partnership that we've had for Time 100 with ABC. So we're really excited about this business. I named a new head of Time Studios, Dave O'Connor. We have a very strong leadership team. If you haven't seen Under Pressure on Netflix, I'd encourage you to watch it. It's one of the trending shows, and our team had the exclusive rights at the World Cup to the U.S. soccer team, and we told the most incredible stories in a four-part series that we sold to Netflix. We just came back from Sundance, where Amazon's Frida Kahlo premiered. There's a lot of buzz about this film and the storytelling of Frida's life, and it's through her own writings that were recovered from really like a dark, damp, abandoned bathroom in her old home. So it's letters and diary and entries that reveal sort of the depth of her personality and this incredible story about her life, and so much that you'll learn in this documentary that you hadn't about her. And just the narrative and the way that it's told is really beautiful and provocative, and the despair and the trauma that she's gone through in her life really comes, really shines in this film. And so there's some Oscar buzz. We'll see. It's a little too early to tell, but it's those types of projects that we're looking at and that we're working on. We're doing a lot in music. We want to do a lot more in sports and in entertainment. And we partner really closely with MSNBC, with Amazon, as I mentioned, Netflix, CNN, and others on the work that we're doing. So it's a really exciting business for us. And it, again, all comes from time and the trust factor that a lot of these subjects have in us to tell their stories.
Yeah, no. I absolutely agree. I think you're, particularly from a brand positioning standpoint, time can be relevant across so many of these verticals that you mentioned. So, very, very exciting opportunities ahead. I think one of the questions, that came up recently in a conversation I was having with another editor at another publication was really around this, the younger demographic. And the fact that, so much news consumption is happening via social. TikTok, very, very kind of bite-sized versions of content. And so I'm curious, for time, you appeal to a very, very broad audience. And how are you thinking through kind of the strategy that's specific to kind of that younger demographic as their, attention span and the way they consume content has evolved so much.
We have to be on every platform. We're on WhatsApp, we're on TikTok, we have 50 million across the social nets. So we have to meet the younger audiences, the younger demographic, where they are. We also need to tell the stories for them and about them. Time 100 Next, identifying the next generation of the most incredible leaders in all of the different verticals, whether it's sports, music, entertainment, is wonderful for us. As I mentioned, and we talked a little bit about, our AI list. We had an 18-year-old on the
Wow,
list,
that's
and
amazing.
she's an advocate in AI, and her focus is on ethics in AI. And so, in everything that we do, we're constantly looking at all generations and telling those stories. When we had our Impact Awards, we named a climate activist whose platform was around saving the rainforests. And this young Indonesian woman came up to me, Fariza Farhan, and she said, "I just never imagined I'd be on the cover of Time and I'd be on this stage here and with you and meeting you as a female CEO." And here's this young woman from Indonesia. So I think it's really critical, again, to highlight and tell these stories, because it's our brand, it's our journalism, and our content that drives audiences, that then helps us sort of with the business side and the monetization side. We had Bad Bunny on our cover. And it wasn't just a cultural moment. This was a historical moment. Yeah. And he gave two interviews, one to Billboard and the other one to Time. And our first all Spanish cover and an all Hispanic team working with him from photograph, video journalism, photojournalism, the interview, the entire production. And we were really proud of that. We got picked up and seen by Telemundo and CNN Espanol and many others. And I think it was a, you know, sort of what we say, when it's in history, it's in time. And when it's time, it is history. And we made history with that. Also, a really proud moment for us was our Person of the Year and selecting and working with Taylor Swift on that.
Yeah.
Taylor had not given an interview in over 4 years.
Wow.
4 years she hasn't given an interview.
Wow.
One, because she doesn't have to. She can talk to
she doesn't have to.
Her fans. She doesn't need an interviewer. She doesn't need a journalist. So anyone that's written about Taylor Swift, they hadn't gotten an interview. Anyone who had photographed Taylor Swift, she hadn't sat down for an interview or photo shoot. And she gave that to us. It was a really good moment for her, having that year that she's had and driving the economy. I look at her not just as an entertainer or as a performer, as a musician. I look at her as a CEO and economics that she's driven with herself, her tour, and the decisions that she's made are truly remarkable. And she trusted Sam Lansky, our reporter. She trusted Time. She trusted the photographers that we selected with her. For her to tell her story and reveal some really interesting things. If you haven't read it, you should.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. It's, I mean, that was probably one of my favorite covers. So congratulations.
We had several covers. That one, I would say, was the number one selling cover. And what we did was so unique. We had three different covers, and depending on which geography you lived in, you received a certain cover.
Interesting.
But we made available all three covers for the collectors, so you could buy all three.
Cool.
Yeah. So we sold through our outlets, through Barnes & Noble and many other places where you would buy magazine, and also direct sales. We sold more magazines than we had, I think, in 10 years. So again, the Taylor effect is strong.
Yeah, it's real. So, you know, this question is around kind of the state of the media industry. I mean, I mentioned this earlier, you know, we're seeing a lot of a pretty large shift as, you know, I think some of the large publishing houses and media houses are trying to kind of recalibrate what the future state of media is going to look like. And so I'm curious, from your point of view, where do you see kind of the issues and also the opportunities as it relates to kind of the future of media?
Yeah, well, having been in this industry and on this journey for over 30 years now, it's been changes constant, and it's been constant transformation and innovation, and it's never been easy. Mm-hmm. My role has always been to create sustainable, profitable businesses to support trusted journalism. And I think that that's just fundamental to the human need. It's like electricity. It's like phone service. We deserve that. We need that. And if I can play a role as a commercial side business leader, revenue generator, to support objective, balanced, trusted, truthful information, that's my place in this world. With that said, it's been a very difficult week, especially for Time and for others. We have to look at new business models. As a CEO, as a commercial CEO, it is my duty to run a strong business and a profitable business. that's on a pathway to growth where we can continue to reinvest again in our product, which is our journalism and our newsroom. And we really can't predict the future. There's so much change happening with the social media companies, with AI technology, OpenAI, a lot of that's going to change. And we just need to continue to figure out new ways and new models to be strong and healthy businesses. And those that are running strong and healthy businesses will be here for the next 100 years. And that's for sure. I've learned that resilient, trusted, high integrity companies, media companies are the ones that don't just survive, but that will continue to thrive. There'll be some shakeout. Some of the newcomers are challenged. And I think there's a level set that's happening right now. But I'm not going anywhere. And I believe in these media companies and in these businesses. And I think we'll get through this. We've had other storms. This isn't the first. I lived through 2008, 2009. I think we had the Great Recession, but they called it the Media Depression.
Oh my God.
To it then as a depression.
Yeah.
And so if we can weather these storms, and we've had them in the past and we'll continue to have them in the future, we'll be okay.
Yeah. From a leadership perspective, you know, it's not easy, obviously, guiding, you know, your team through periods of change and uncertainty and really kind of maintaining optimism about the future, particularly with, you know, all of the transformation that's happening. How do you think about that?
I've led this small teams, medium teams, large teams, global teams, older teams, younger teams. I would say what I've learned is honesty, transparency, integrity. I would say not just communication, but over communication, mm-hmm. and just authenticity. I've always just shown up as myself, and I am I'm probably an oversharer and an over talker. Maybe that's a female trait. I've been honest. I've been a working mom, a working parent, a human being, and I just am very authentic. And I think that what I've learned is that people respond to that. Mm-hmm. They respond probably more to that now than in the past. And even as recent as, you know, I've said I'm a new CEO, first time CEO. You're not supposed to say that. Why not? You're supposed to own it. Don't tell them and say that. I'm like, it's true. Why can't I say it? It's like, vulnerable. It's just being truthful. And it's okay. Like that. And I'm going to own that I'm the new first CEO, and I'm learning as I go. I want to learn every day. So that's how as a leader, I'm really open, and I try to be human and empathetic and warm, but also demanding.
Yeah.
It's okay too.
Yeah. So, you know, kind of looking ahead to 2024, you know, you've talked about some really exciting initiatives and projects that Time is already in and looking to get into. For you personally, what are you most excited about?
I am really excited about where I am right now. But yeah, I'm really excited to be in year two. Mm-hmm. We've made a lot of change. I feel so excited about the opportunity for Time. I am so confident in the management team that's in place now at Time. And there's so much to look forward to this year. It's going to be an interesting year. There's a lot of challenges ahead. And I'm really proud of our newsroom covering all of them. And I'm really proud that 100 years of Time and our archives are available to everyone in the world for free. Journalists love to write for larger audiences.
Yeah.
And I think this is our time in our 101 year to kind of take the market and own it. We're really excited that we've got incredible supportive owners in Mark and Lynn Benioff. They're the co-owners and co-chairs of Time. If you didn't read the New York Times article, Mark is quoted in there. He really believes in our purpose, in our mission, in this team, and everything that we're doing to build this business.
Amazing. So, you know, this podcast, we have a bunch of female founders who tune in, and, you know, you've obviously had an incredible career. And I think Time is really, you know, everything you've shared has really highlighted that. I'm curious, you know, do you have any advice for these founders who may be navigating, you know, the last few years have been challenging in terms of layoffs and, you know, fundraising droughts. And so I'm curious, you know, any advice or mantras that you really live by that you think may be helpful?
Show up, get up every day. It's a new day. Learn something new every day. Keep going. 2%. Wow. It's 2%. I guess that's better than 1%. Yeah. I've been that one person, that only person in the room who's female. I felt very comfortable in those rooms. I felt very proud to be in that room. And I would say in the year we just reported on our employee data, we've gone from, since I've joined in a little over a year, our female executive rank grew from 40% to over 65%.
Wow.
So
that's amazing.
I'm really proud of that. And I would just say, be in the room, be at the table, bring other people along and just keep going. And the thing that is different with I think your audience and those companies and those founders that you're working with and investing in is they are change agents. They are, they are disruptors. They are rule breakers. I think the generation of women that I grew up with or that I've been in, we were rule followers. And we never asked the questions really publicly. And so to have conversations and to not just break the rules, but change the rules, I think is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I love that. That's great, great advice. So we're going to move into our lightning round, which is my favorite part. And so I'm just going to ask you a couple questions, answer with whatever comes to mind. Let's start with favorite profile that Time has covered since you've joined.
Taylor Swift. and I'll say Sam Altman. So since I spoke about Taylor Swift, we did name Sam as the CEO of the year, and he was on our stage at Person of the Year just after he was fired from his company and the board and then rehired. The employees left. Like, what an incredible story.
Yeah.
I love the opening line from our editor-in-chief in the interview. Sam, what the hell happened? Tell us the story. And he was just at Davos. And so we had him on our cover 3 times. So most innovative company, as well as CEO of the year, and he was on our AI list. So really understanding what's happening in AI, led with OpenAI, I think it's just been a really powerful ongoing story for us.
Top 3 mobile apps you can't live without.
Instagram. I follow you. Spotify and my ongoing personalized playlist, which ironically I named It's Time when I started.
Oh,
and it
nice.
Was a year before I joined. And a new one, one of those typical people that January came around and I joined the gym.
Mm-hmm.
So I really have to say Equinox has done an incredible job with Equinox Plus and the app. So that's my new go-to.
Nice. If you were not working in media, what would you see yourself doing instead?
Government. I want to someday live in Washington, D.C. again and be in the public sector and serve my country.
I love that. I love that. Anything you want to plug or announce?
Well, healthcare in May. That's mm-hmm. important, and the and also what we've talked about, AI advances using technology, climate, and the correlation with healthcare. I'm really excited. I just reached out to 40 CEOs of leading hospitals, pharmaceutical companies, healthcare companies to participate. We've got two advisors for healthcare, Dr. Angus and Arianna Huffington. So I'm really excited to be partnering with both of them on this initiative. And that's what I'm looking at least in the first half.
And where can our listeners find you online?
Everywhere. LinkedIn, X, Instagram, Facebook. As you've probably noticed, I'm a serial extrovert, maybe an only lonely child. So the thing that I love about social media is that I can connect with people when I'm not with them in person and follow their careers, follow what they're excited about, see their families, see some of the new things that have happened in their lives and feel a sense of connection. I know there's a lot of downside with social media, but that's what I found really positive for me.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Jess. This has been such a pleasure and just really eye-opening and exciting to hear everything that's happened over the past year. So congratulations.
Thank you, Anu, and to you too. I'm really excited to continue to follow you and excited about all your female founders. Keep going, keep doing the hard work. It's definitely going to pay off.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to the 2% for today's episode featuring Jess Sibley, CEO of Time. I hope you found our conversation as enlightening and inspiring as I did, uncovering the nuances of leading a global media brand in an era of constant change. Jess's perspective on media transformation, technology, and leadership has certainly given us a lot to think about. See you next time.
Stay in touch with us on Instagram at Female Founders Fund and on Twitter at FCubeVC. And for those of you building the next billion-dollar businesses, we'd love to hear from you. Send all pitch decks to pitches@femalefoundersfund.com and we'll be in touch. And finally, if you're interested in working at one of our 45-plus female-founded startups, explore our job opportunities at jobs.femalefoundersfund.com. Make sure to subscribe to the 2% on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you are listening. And stay tuned for our next episode with powerful women founding and funding the future. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes or simply tell a friend about the show. That would help us out too. Until next time, I'm Anu Dugal, and this has been the 2%.